Hey, welcome back. It's Mark Yeagy here. In this video, we're going to be talking about five essential tips for building wealth. Stay tuned. It's Mark Yeagy here, wealth architect and lifestyle investor. Let's take your life to the next level. Welcome to the Wealth Architect Podcast. Welcome back. And I want to go into five essential tips for building wealth. You know, this is the Wealth Architect Podcast, not all about interviewing thought leaders in the field and how they make passive income. But it's sometimes just getting those five essential tips that might be a helpful video for you. The first part of it is the part that a lot of people miss is they don't set clear financial goals. So you've got to set clear financial goals for your wealth, but you've got to do it based on your own personal level of richness, right? You can't just say, well, I saw some guy driving a Lamborghini. That's what I want to have. That's fine if that's really what you want to have. But most people don't need a Lamborghini. I don't need a Lamborghini to go from A to B. I just have a nice little SUV that I use and it works fine for me. But it's your different level of richness. I use the extra money that I save and not spending $115,000 like a friend of mine just did on a brand new truck. And I get to go travel the world. To me, that's my definition of richness. So you got to decide what it is for you. Do you want to travel? You want to spend more time with your family? You want to have more time off? Do you want to create your own business? What is it for you? Really sit down and think about that. Consider retirement, what your major purchases are, what your family needs are, what your education and your inheritance are and they want and what you want them to be. And then you've got to start budgeting effectively to achieve these goals. I always say you should be able to live on half of your income. Right? The other half is for saving, investing, contribution, travel, fun, you know, a few things like that. But if you can live on half of your income, that means you're budgeting it effectively so that you should be able to invest for the future. So defining financial goals is really critical. The next step, eliminating debt and taxes. If you can eliminate debt, now a lot of people say, well, there's good debt and bad debt. And that's true. But in general, most of us have bad debt. And here's an example. A guy named Robert Kiyosaki wrote a book called Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And in that book, he created huge amounts of controversy by telling people your house is not an asset. And he is 100% right. Because an asset is something that puts money in your pocket. His definition and mine too. If it puts money in your pocket every month, that's pretty much an asset. If it takes money out of your pocket every month, it's a liability. And so here's the proof. If you look at your bank's asset sheet, right? They have your house on it. You can't have it on your balance sheet too. It's a liability because you owe the money to the bank. Now, if you own it free and clear, that's a totally different discussion. So there's assets, there's liabilities, and then there's a place to live. And that's where the house falls in. Whether you rent or you're mortgaging the house, you need a place to live and that's a cost. So it's neither an asset nor a liability in my book. It's a place to live. And so it's not an asset. If you have debt on it, that's dragging you down. You've got to pay every month some big debt if it's a big house, right? If you can eliminate that debt, you're going to get farther ahead because it's less money that you owe for somebody. And believe me, it's not an asset because when you go to the bank, even though it's an asset on their balance sheet and you say, I need a new roof, the bank ain't going to pay for it. You got to pay for it. When you need a new kitchen, the bank ain't going to pay for it. You got to pay for it. Your house is not an asset. And so you've got to start to realize that and start to use that thinking as a way to start eliminating debt and taxes. Taxes is the biggest expense you're ever going to have in your life, right? So you've got to eliminate taxes. And there's lots of strategies on how to do that as well. You want to start with prioritizing your high debt elimination. You don't want to just eliminate like the 3% debt when you have a 12% debt on the books. Eliminate that 12% because that eats into your savings, right? Manage your good debt responsibly. If you have debt on a duplex that's making you some money, just manage it responsibly. Have it on auto, bill pay, things like that so that you don't get into trouble with those debts. Reduce interest costs and reduce your financial burden. The more burdens you have, the less money you can save. The less money you save, the less money you invest. Fewer opportunities you're going to have to take advantage of when they come about. That's what money is supposed to be for is, you know, these opportunities are flying in front of you every day. And if you don't have any money, you never even know they're there or you never even look at them and you can't invest in them. So have the money set aside to be able to take advantage of those opportunities. But doing that means that you have to reduce down your debt, reduce down some of the taxes that you're paying. Now, when you start to invest, if you haven't done that already, and most people on this channel are investors, but maybe you're getting there, right? Early investing is crucial. Like you've got to start early. You've got to explore taxable brokerage accounts, but you also have to explore those retirement accounts because tax-deferred growth is incredible, right? If you start to study compounding growth, if you're not pulling out 25, 30% a year in taxes, that growth grows exponentially. You can pay the tax later, or you could pay, you could put money in a Roth IRA where you've already paid the tax. But having the money grow on itself is an amazingly powerful thing. You want to start getting educated financially, right? Use those educational resources out there, channels like mine, other people's channels, start making informed decisions. But also, when you listen to people, listen to who they are and what their backgrounds are, okay? Watch out for listening to financial planners and stockbrokers and things like that, because most of those people aren't really trained in true wealth. They're trained in getting assets and holding onto them and making a fee on them. You want somebody trained in true wealth strategies. It's a really critical thing. And you want to continue to sustain that consistent contribution level every year or every month if you're dollar cost averaging, or every quarter, whatever it is, just be consistent, because over time, it's going to work out in your favor. Then I want to talk about this next strategy, which is called diversification. Now, there's a big myth on diversification. Everybody thinks you need to diversify your portfolio. So you hear all these gurus tell you, you got to put money in ETFs and mutual funds. And, you know, listen, if you need to invest in 500 companies, like, you're a way better investor. I can't keep track of five companies, let alone 500. So you put your money in ETF. What's in an ETF? Exchange traded fund. You got a bunch of great stocks in there. You got a bunch of average stocks in there, and then you have stocks that go out of business, right? Crappy stocks. And all of those turn into a big mixture of average or less than average because there's a fee. And so I don't believe that you need to diversify your portfolio. And in fact, Warren Buffett has, and he's been doing this for 60 something years, he's got this billions of dollars invested from this portfolio in basically five stocks. Five stocks for a guy that's been in the market for 65 years and is a multi-billionaire, and he's the best investor of all time in a lot of people's books. Well, doesn't that tell us something? Warren Buffett doesn't go around saying, I'm looking for the best mutual fund. He's like, no, I'm looking for the best equity to invest in, the one that's going to grow faster than the regular market. So if it's good enough for Warren Buffett to diversify among asset classes, but not within an asset class, then shouldn't it be for you? That's the rule. Diversify among asset classes, but concentrate within asset classes. And what do I mean by that? Well, if you're going to have a portfolio, yeah, you should have some money in gold a little bit. Maybe you should have some money in Bitcoin a little bit. Maybe you should have some money in real estate because it has some cool advantages regarding offsetting some of your income. Maybe you should have some money in the stock market, hopefully making cash flow, like our program called the Cash Flow Machine. You should have some money in real estate that maybe is in cash flowing real estate that makes you income every month from, say, strip malls or garages or whatever it is for you. Diversify among asset classes. But within those asset classes, let's say you're in real estate, you don't want to have strip malls and, you know, self-storage and parking garage. You're not going to be good at any of them. Concentrate within that portfolio itself and then diversify among those portfolio assets. Make sense? By the way, I don't believe in bonds anymore. I think it's a Ponzi scheme. And so I really try to minimize those kinds of fixed income investments because they're not even keeping up with inflation anymore. So, be careful with bonds. There may be a day where bonds are great, but right now I really shy away from bonds as a big part of my portfolio. It used to be 40% of your portfolio. They'd say the 60-40 portfolio. I don't think it works anymore. Understand asset allocation significance. So if you have a significant amount in real estate and we have a downturn in real estate and you lose your tenants, what if you're highly in debt and you start to lose those portfolio assets in real estate like that? You don't want to be put in that position. And then you want to adjust those risk goals as you increase your wealth. The wealthier you get in general, the more conservative you're going to start to be because you want to preserve that wealth. You don't want to be too conservative and get behind inflation, but you do need to start changing your goals as wealth starts to increase. And then you want to increase income throughout the whole period of time. This is the last major tip that I'm going to give you, is that you've got to work on increasing your income, whether it's active or passive. Increasing your income is really important. Higher income accelerates your wealth growth, especially if you don't grow your expenses. If you can live a great life and keep that level the same without having to get a bigger house and a more expensive car and a nicer watch and have to travel first class, whatever it is for you. If you don't increase those expenses, that higher income can go towards building more investments. And that investment can lead to more growth so that when you don't want to work or you want to just start taking advantage of your passive or semi-passive income, you can do that. So how do you do that? Well, if you're still working, you can seek advancement, consider career changes. You can also start to do side hustles. I'm not a big believer in lots of side hustles because most people, you know, they work their 8 hours. They got another 8 hours left that they're not sleeping. And they're either watching Netflix or scrolling Facebook. And they're wasting a lot of time with hobbies and things like that. And most people aren't going to put in the time that's required to make that side hustle a massive success. So that side hustle replaces your current job. Which is that the holy grail anyway? Do you want to replace your current job with a side hustle? No, the side hustle goes for investing. And so you've got to make sure that it's substantial. You can't just waste your time on a side hustle either. So if you're going to do a side hustle, make sure you do it right and with everything you got. And then you want to journal, document your achievements, improve your skills, explore your opportunities, and start to increase your income in this level. Because as you start to focus on this, you're going to start attracting a lot of things in your life. So those are the five tips on building wealth. I think you need to put them to work if you haven't done it already, because the wealthy people that I know, those are the things that they do, plain and simple. They do other things too. But if you're not doing those five tips, you at least need to start with that. See you next time on the next edition of the Wealth Architect Podcast. Thanks for being here. Hey, it's Mark Yeagy here to tell you about our Cash Flow Machine trading program that's designed to teach you how to make safe, reliable income. Now, we shoot for 2 to 4% a month of income and growth in your portfolio. And we have courses to teach you how to do this yourself or inside a mastermind community. And the best part of that is it only takes about 20 minutes a week to implement. Now, while 2 to 4% a month doesn't sound like much, I show you exactly how we took my IRA from $111,000 to over $500,000 in just 19 months without huge risk. I'm not telling you this to brag, just to show you that you could do this too. So to learn more about this program, go to cashflowmachine.io. That's cashflowmachine.io, and you can learn more. You've been listening to the Wealth Architect Podcast with Mark Yeagy. Follow us on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Like and subscribe on YouTube. Share and tell your friends. See you soon. The information you just heard is for education and information. This is not financial advice.